I'm filling in for Brother Bob this morning, so y'all just pray for me. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And so this morning, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 4. And just want to speak to the author before we read the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord, together around your word. And Father, we just pray that you just come in a special way, minister to each one. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, we just pray for each one that has a need here this morning, Lord. You know what the needs are. We just commit to you, and we just pray that you bless our Brother Chris this morning as he comes to bring the word. Lord, just touch him, touch our ears, and our hearts to receive from you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look at the word diligence this morning, and Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now the word diligence, got several different definitions here. Diligence is the quality of working carefully and with a lot of effort, steady, earnest, and energetic effort, devoted and painstaking work and application to accomplish an undertaking, assiduous, meaning showing great care, attention, and effort, marked by careful, unremitting attention or persistent application, earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything, to give all diligence, interest, oneself most earnestly. So I was thinking on this subject, and it was a quote by Abraham Lincoln, and he said, the leading rule for a lawyer, as for the man of every other calling, is diligence. He said, leave nothing for tomorrow which can be done today. And so I was thinking about giving diligence, and Solomon speaking in Proverbs and the different scriptures that mention this. And here in Romans, speaking of Abraham, and Paul speaking of Abraham being justified by faith, and it says, "What shall we say then after Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness." Now verse 11 says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them which are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being not uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So we know that Abraham received the promise through faith, and it was counted to him by faith, but he had to believe, but then his actions proved that he had faith, is what James says here in James 2:20. And it says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers, when she had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So we know in the scripture, and many times people have argued and they see there's a contradiction there, but understanding that, you know, God sees a man's faith and he imputed that as for righteousness for Abraham because that he would believe. But the outside world, what people see is our works. Because if you have faith, as James said, faith without works is dead. So you're going to have works. People are going to have to see that you actually believe. Because if you, all the way through the scripture, you know, Noah received the word from the Lord that there was going to be rain. There was no way of proving that. But that's what Noah believed. Amen. Science could prove that there was no water in the heavens, but Noah said it's going to rain. God gave him that word. It's an impossibility. But it wasn't impossible.
Amen.
Because God spoke it, it would come to pass.
Right.
And Noah believed that.
Amen.
So when Noah believed what God was going to say, then he put his faith in action and he started building a boat.
Amen.
He started building the ark.
Right.
But you know, when you have faith and faith produces works, then the other part of that is when you have works is the word where diligence comes in. And when you look at, you know, we can have works, but you know, we have to follow God all the way. We have to follow God the way that he would lead us. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So he says, diligently seek him. So there's a way, you know, when Noah was building the ark, you know, he didn't take his own idea on how to build it. You know, he didn't say, "Hey, God told me to build an ark, I'm going to build an ark." God gave him the exact measurements on how to build the ark.
Right.
He gave him the wood, told him what kind of wood to use to build the ark.
Amen.
He told him how to pitch it within and without, how many levels to put in, how many doors to put in, how many windows to put in. Every aspect of the ark was built to God's design. It wasn't Noah's design. And so when we look at the word diligence, that's how God wants us to believe. Not just to believe that he is.
Amen.
He is. He is whatever you have need of. He is the I am, the ever-present. But whatever you have need of, that's what he is. But he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we put all things aside to follow him in the way that God would lead us. As our term, looking, you look and see what diligence means. You know, we hold on, careful, determination, working carefully with a lot of effort. Now, later on, I want to look at some things, because if we look to see how God wants us to be diligent and understand what God wants us to do, and here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and Peter's speaking of, you know, the stature of a perfect man, and he says, "As according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And he said, and besides this, giving all diligence. So we see that God has given us this divine power. He's given us his nature. He's given us these exceeding great promises. And then he says, besides this, he says, giving all diligence. So there's something that has to be done beyond this. He says, besides giving all diligence. So how do we are to pursue these things? He says, then add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He said, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." So when God calls us into, when you receive the new birth, as Brother Bram said, you know, as he was speaking of the Pentecostals, you know, they thought, well, you know, I've reached the pinnacle. This is it. And he said, you know, you've just got started. And Brother Bram rebuked the Pentecostals because he said, y'all cabbage down on this part and not realizing there was something greater to come. And so you should continue on. And understanding Paul speaking about receiving this divine promise, this divine nature that we receive from God. And he says, besides this, so we have received the Spirit of God. We have received the Spirit of adoption. But after you receive this, he said, but besides this, he said, give all diligence to press forward with everything to make sure that we have these things to add to our faith. Continue on, press forward. And you know, many times when I was thinking of this quote where Brother Branham says, in be certain of God. And you know, when you look at these things, when comparing this to other words, I was thinking of the word perseverance. But when you hear Brother Branham speaking of when you look at things in your life and you wonder why things are happening the way they are, Brother Branham says, you know, when we have confessed our sins and met every requirement that God requires, we believed on God, there's circumstances has to be met, and it's according to his will. And we've confessed our sins and we've made all the wrongs that we have did right, done everything that we know how to do, every requirement that God has made or asked, we have met that requirement, and yet he lays silent. He just won't answer us. I'm sure that I'm speaking to peoples this morning that's come to that place. I've been there many times myself. When I've went back and traced my life and turned over every stone, and I find that I did something wrong, I'd go confess it, said, "Lord God, I'll make it right," and go do so. Then come back again and say, "Now, Lord, thou art God, you'll answer me. Surely I've met every request that you've required me to do, and every requirement I've met it." And still he won't move, seems to be silent. That's when you've got to be sure that he is God. Don't be discouraged. The only thing is that in your heart to be certain of God. And so sometimes when we looked at the word diligence, you know, it's to look at everything in a careful way. Because one of the definitions of looking at something being diligent is to stop and look at everything and search through things, as Brother Ram's speaking here, stop and overturn every stone. Go back through everything in your life and make sure everything is okay. And so when you want to be diligent, you want to look at every aspect of everything, to go through everything, not just to be moving forward. Here in the definition for perseverance, it says continuing a course of action without regard to discouragement, opposition, or previous failure. It says persistent determination to adhere to a plan of direction, insistence. Now, Brother Branham said in the message Perseverance, he said that, you know, it means to persist, to set a goal, to move forward. Persist means to continue firmly or obstinately in an opinion or a course of action despite of difficulty, opposition, or failure. So you persist in a way. And many times we have things in our lives and we're facing something. But many times if we don't go back, just like Brother Rand preached, doors and doors, if we go through things in our lives and we allow God to move in one aspect of our life, but we don't open up the other things and look and allow him those other access and stop and say, Lord, is there's doors that I haven't allowed you to come into? Have I not opened these doors? Then we can't say that we've had all diligence. There's a legal term called due diligence. And due diligence is a aspect in the law where if you have a legal proceeding that takes place, if you receive some kind of legal document, you have to give everybody so much time to respond.
Right.
If you get a judgment against you that you don't like, you have so many days to appeal. Well, then everything has a legal, you have to do your due diligence. When you're searching the title on a home for a purchase, they have to go back and search so many years and check everything out. Everything has to be done, and that's due diligence. When foreclosures or different things, they put notices in the paper. They try to contact everybody that they can when things are taking place, to contact, relatives and different things. You have to contact all different parties. All those things is part of that due diligence. You've got to do all those steps to cover all those aspects of what would be reasonable. And it's the same thing with God. You know, if we don't allow him to have his full preeminence, then we've not done our due diligence. And sometimes we wonder why God's not been pleased with things and why things happen. Brother Bram says, why haven't we had a revival? Well, sometimes the reason we have it is because we're hindering God. We hinder God in it and the way that God wants to move. Things that God wants to do. And it's like, have we taken that due diligence and taken that and said, Lord, what would you have me do? Or take the time to sit down and pray, and what's hindering me? What is it that is unpleasing to you? You know, sometimes we just get wrapped up in life sometimes, and just the everyday things of life. And sometimes we don't take account of things, and we have things like, you know, Brother Wade was up here the other day, and you know, he was talking about us being on time and getting here before service and those things. And you know, sometimes we just get in a frame of mind, and sometimes, you know, we'll say, well, we're just going through the motions, or, you know, we're just rushing and doing different things. And when somebody says something like that, it's like, does that really sink into to us? Do we actually take that to heart? Or is that just something, well, Brother Wade's up here saying that? But if it was God speaking, or do we just look at it as a man speaking? Because I take that as God speaking. Because I see this church. And you know, Brother Bram said, our unconfessed sin. You know, the things that we do, just minor things. We think it's not a big thing. But it could be so minor. But you know, that could cause this church to bitterly fail. What Brother Bram said. We could hinder the church.
Right.
And we just think, well, that's just a small... No. If it's in the Word, then we need to take a more earnest heed, as the Scripture tells us, to the things that we've heard. We need to hold on to these things.
Right.
And when I was speaking here, perseverance and diligence, there's a couple of stories I want to tell, and one of them is Brother Brown tells it in the and the great coming revival and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Here, Brother Branham's speaking of Paul Rader. And he speaks of Paul Rader, and scroll down there, or scroll up, brothers. You can stop. But anyway, he says, and he believed in God. Paul Rader preached divine healing. He not only preached it, but he practiced it. So he went unconscious. He was talking about when Brother Paul was battling the fever. He said when he had dreamed he was back in the woods as a logger, as he used to be, and cutting the timber. And he said he cut a big log. His boss sent him. Yeah, his boss sent him. Okay. His boss sent him up on the hill to cut a log, and said he cut the log, stuck his axe in the soft timber of the evergreen, and he started to pick it up, and he just couldn't pick it up. It was too much for him. He said, well, why would my boss ask me to cut a log like this and couldn't pick it up? He said, if you get this symbol of what it meant, God will never give you nothing. This gospel do what he give you grace to do it with. That's right. He will never promise thus in there, but what he will fulfill it. And said he tried to pick it up and he couldn't. And he said he just wore himself out tugging at it. And Brother Brown goes on and he says, that's what's wrong with the church today. Denominations are tugging at it, but they won't let God. He said, God let men run their limit right now. God's letting men have this world. Let them prove to themselves that they can't run this world. God, with his mighty hand, shows the world cannot stand. That's right. God rules the world. He will rule it through Christ Jesus. But now man wanted to rule. And you see what a chaos it's got into. Now we'll skip down just a little bit there. And Brother Bram continues to talk about Brother Paul. And he says, Paul said that he tugged at it till he just got tired and he just didn't know what to do. Sat down beside of that tree and started crying. He said, oh, I can't even pick it up. I've lost my strength. Said he heard his voice speak. He said he heard his boss's voice speak with a kind voice and said, Paul, said, what are you struggling at anyhow? Said, why don't you just throw it over there in the water? That water runs right on down around the camp. Said he looked up and his boss was the Lord Jesus. Said he just took that old log and pushed it over in the water, jumped a straddle of them, and went to splash the water, riding it down the river, hollering, I'm riding on it, I'm riding on it, I'm riding on it. And said he was coming riding into the camp screaming with all his voice, I'm riding on it. And when he came to himself, he was standing right out in the middle of the floor with his hands up in the air screaming, I'm riding on it, I'm riding on it. It's God's promise, and he was healed right there in the room, and the fever's left him. Amen. So, you know, there was Brother Paul, he was holding on, and he kept trying to wrestle that log. And that's persevering. You know, he's over there persevering, he's wrestling that log, trying to get that log to move. But you know, when he stopped and he thought, and he said, I can't do this, that's when the Lord was able to speak to him and said, Paul, why don't you roll it into the water? See, if we can persevere and have persistence and push things and we just stay in the same channel and just keep on going. But God doesn't want us just to be perseverant all the time. God wants us to be diligent. And stop and think, well, Lord, how would you want me to do this? And then when you come to that point, then the Lord was able to tell Paul, roll that log into the water and you can ride it. There's another way to go. And he said, I'm riding on it. Amen. See, when he was battling that fever and he was working and doing all that, and we'll have the musicians come on, I'll be done in a minute. But when he saw all that taking place and he was wrestling with that thing, when he got to the point where he could just roll it over onto God, when he cast his cares upon him, then the Lord could heal him. And I was thinking about the there in John chapter 5, where there was a lame man laying beside at the pool of Bethesda. And he laid there 38 years. He had that infirmity. But you know what? He never gave up. Every single time the angel troubled the waters, he was making his way to the water. He was persistent. He was perseverant to make that water. But you know what? Jesus saw the faith that the man had. And he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said, "Lord, I keep trying." But you know what God told him? Said, "Take up your bed and walk." And he was able to take up his bed and walk. Not just be perseverant, but let us all be diligent in what God has called us to do. Amen. God bless you this morning.